Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. And let's stand together, 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. After spending so long in Genesis, I plan to spend a few weeks finishing out 2019 and beginning of 2020 on the subject of practical prayer. Someone asked me quite a while back, "Preacher, how do we pray? How should we pray? Can you preach some sermons on that?" And I kind of had it on the back burner. But as is often the case, the one who asks is not here to hear the sermon. But they don't have a choice. But there's always these CDs or online. But this series will go for several weeks. I don't have an outline for it. We're just going to go 1 week at a time. But I want to speak on practical prayer pointers. Practical prayer pointers. Jesus' disciples had asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples, not just how to pray, but to pray. The most discouraging thought in a preacher's mind when preaching on prayer is knowing that many will absorb the facts but not put them into practice, and to begin the habit of praying consistently and intelligently. John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray and to pray, and Jesus taught his to pray, so I think I'm following a good pattern in this regard. Prayer is a huge subject in the Bible, but we're not going to be exhaustive in it. I'm not going to cover every in and out of prayer or every promise or principle of prayer, but I intend to be very practical. Now, I believe in prayer, and I pray. And I have prayed for some things many years, and I strive to pray on purpose and to pray intelligently and to pray faithfully. I pray within the boundaries of Scripture, which is important. And I admit that prayer is not the easiest thing for me. I'd rather study than pray. I'd rather watch TV than study. And so prayer is not, getting on my knees and spending time in prayer is not the easiest thing for me to do. So I guess I shouldn't do it if it's not easy. No, we are to discipline ourselves in this matter of prayer. I pray because I know that God wants me to pray. And I know He hears and will answer my prayers. It will be a wonderful thing over this next year if parents and spouses and grandparents and teenagers and kids and Sunday school teachers and church members would cover their families and their church and their marriages in a net of prayer, to really get involved in praying and seeing God answer. Now, the prayer of Jabez is pretty famous. I've preached from it a number of times here and elsewhere. This is not the same sermons, this is not the same sermon that I've preached before, but it is the same text. It is a simple prayer, and God granted him that which he requested. Perhaps if he had asked for more, he might have gotten more. But he prayed for four specific things, and the Bible is clear that God granted him that which he requested. Now, tonight I want to draw some practical pointers on praying for yourself. Praying for yourself. Now, right off the bat, that may rub some people the wrong way. Preacher, is that selfish to pray for yourself? Well, that depends. Are you only praying for yourself? And what are you praying for? Okay, those are important qualifications. But you notice that Jabez's prayer includes a lot of me. Okay, he says, notice again, verse 10. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." Sounds like he's praying for himself, doesn't he? Me, me, my, me. Normally, in the Bible, that's a red flag. But here, it is something that God accepted, and God granted his request for himself. I want you to consider three points tonight. Number one, Jabez called on God and expected an answer. Jabez called on God and expected an answer. Now, who was Jabez? Jabez is a virtual nobody. Okay? He is in the lineage of Judah, but it's not even clear if he's of the kingly line. It's just he's a descendant of Judah. He's of the tribe of Judah. All we know about him is that his name means sorrowful and was born with sorrow, and that he was more honorable than his brethren, which, by the way, is important. If you want to have your prayers answered, it's important to be an honorable, upright, godly person. Okay? You got to be on praying ground. You'll get more prayers answered as a righteous person than an unrighteous person. Okay? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So he was more honorable than his brethren. He's a man of character and obviously a man of faith and a man of prayer. And so he rose above his brethren. But I'm pointing out that Jabez was virtually a nobody. He was not a king. He was not a prophet. He was not a priest. He was not a judge. He was not a heroic warrior of the Old Testament. He's just a man in the lineage of Judah with a sad name and a prayer that got answered. Okay. Now, this is one of the most important, and by the way, this man who's a nobody had the audacity to pray the God of Israel. And you know what? This man that's a nobody got an answer. That's encouraging. Okay? I can understand King David praying, getting answers. What about a nobody like Jabez? He got answers too. Okay, so that gives us hope. Now, one of the most important truths regarding prayer is this, that your view of God will determine much about your view of prayer. Your view of God will determine much about your view of prayer. He didn't just pray to any God. He prayed to a specific God, didn't he? The God of Israel. He prayed to that God. The God is revealed in the Old Testament. And he had a right view of that God and his ability to pray. Now, some have a very small view of God. Here's some of the things I hear people say. God's way too busy to be concerned about my prayers or my needs. Okay? Like God is a celestial CEO with his little date minder, and it's all full of important appointments, you know, and he only has so much he can do in one day. And so how dare I bother God while he's so busy with all these other important things? Folks, God is never busy. God works, but it's not like God's running around trying to figure out how to squeeze everything in. We have an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. He's not being torn in 10,000 different directions. Your prayer is not going to be a burden on him. Okay? Some people say, well, God has enough to worry about without hearing my problems. Okay? Well, God doesn't worry. I promise you one thing is true. God in heaven is not worried about anything. Okay? Well, he's got enough to worry about. He's got things to take care of in Iran and Iraq and Russia. Well, God can take care of all that and answer your prayers too. Okay? So you got to have a right view of God. Otherwise, people who otherwise believe in God don't pray because they really don't believe that God can or will or welcome their prayers. Like they're bothering God if they pray. And others have the wrong theology that God has no interest in their life because they're too insignificant for him to spend much time thinking about. That's also a wrong view of God. I call this the distant deity. God is not a distant deity. Okay? The president of a country, he's too busy for me. Okay? The president of a country, I can't get in his office today. He's a distant power. But the God of heaven is not a distant deity. He's my heavenly Father. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. And I'm not bothering him and I'm not burdening him and he's not too busy and he's not too occupied to be concerned with my prayers, even if I'm a nobody like Jabez. Now, if we're ever going to have any boldness in prayer, we have to get our theology right. God is not too busy. God is not bothered. God is not worried. God is not asleep. God is not tired. God is not limited. God does not limit his audience to prophets, priests, and kings. He is my heavenly Father, and I have access to him. In Psalm 121, it says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You're up at 3 in the morning, tossing and turning, all weighed down with some problem. You think, who can I call? The one who doesn't sleep. The one who doesn't, better than posting on Facebook something you shouldn't post. You know, or getting up and getting all depressed about stuff, why not go to the God who doesn't sleep? In Proverbs 15:8, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." God delights in the prayers of the upright. God would rather have your prayers as a godly person than $1 million from an ungodly person. Now, Brother Asbury would rather have $1 million. But that's why I'm not God, you see. But God delights in the prayers of the upright. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I don't have to come timidly. I can come boldly, right in. And in my time of need, I don't have to schedule it for next week. I don't have to schedule it for next month. I can just come boldly right now because I have a big God that can run all that and help me too. So we got to have our theology right. Jabez understood this. Now, to not do so, when God invites me to come boldly and cast my cares upon Him, 1 Peter 5:7, to not do so is not humility. Okay. Well, I'm just being humble and I don't want to bother God. That's not being humble, that's being faithless. Okay. That's a false humility. Well, I don't want to bother God. No, so that you're insulting God's character. Okay? You don't understand God's character. And so let's not hide behind false humility when it's really just a lack of faith and a lack of understanding of our God and our opportunities as His children. Prayerlessness is never superior. Prayerlessness is misguided and unscriptural. God wants us to pray, invites us to pray, commands us to pray, encourages us to pray. Okay, He can't do anything else, folks. He has done everything He can to let us know, hey, you can pray. If we don't pray, it's not because God has not gone over and above and inviting us to come. Okay. Now, some think that God is stingy with His answers. Here's something that I hear people say sometimes, because people don't think. For example, if I say, well, God answered my prayer for a car or some furniture or something, some may scoff and say, why would you pray for material things? Why aren't you praying for souls and missionaries? As though I can only pray for one or the other. Like I have a limited number of prayer tokens. Oh, I put in my 2 prayer tokens for a car because I needed something to drive. Sorry, missionaries. Sorry. That's real super spiritual. That means it's not really spiritual. It just doesn't understand God. I can actually pray for souls and missionaries and material needs that I have and sickness that I'm dealing with and all these other things. I don't have a limit on the number of prayer requests I can turn in. And if God chooses to answer a material prayer, praise God for it. Okay. Some people, I think, are saving up all their prayers for one big prayer. One big emergency prayer. That's how they always did it in the old movies, you know. Got the cowboy. He's about to die. He needs something to happen. He gets on his knees and says, "Lord, you know I'm not a praying man." And then he prays for a miracle. I always think that's funny. He's like, "Why? That's praiseworthy? Okay, I've never prayed before, but now that I'm in a deep emergency, here's my one big prayer." Folks, one thing I'm going to emphasize is the importance of preventative praying. Instead of waiting for the emergency, why don't you spend a lot of time in prayer? You might avoid emergencies. So often we don't pray until after the emergency has come, and then we expect the Red Sea to part and a miracle to take place. When we ought to be spending time in prayer ahead of that, we might avoid some problems. God would much rather hear you praying a lot for a long time than for you to save up all your prayer tokens and cash them in on one big emergency prayer. Okay. Other people are just plain fatalistic because they have a fatalistic view of God. In other words, if it will be, it will be. No sense praying about it. And I've heard people say, well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. No sense in me praying about it. It'll happen whether I pray or not. But God said, you have not because you ask not. Okay. So by not praying, we are missing things that God otherwise would have been happy to give us. So just to sit back and excuse our laziness in prayer by saying, well, I don't pray because I'm just trusting whatever God wants, He'll do. and ignore the fact that God invites you and commands you to spend time in prayer and tells us we miss out on things because we don't pray. And then blame things on fate or destiny. The will of God may deny us some prayer requests, but not praying will certainly deny us some things that God would have gladly answered. Okay. In other words, I may pray for something that's not God's will, and I may not. Why would I want that? God says no. But if I don't pray, I'm not going to get some things answered. So don't be fatalistic. God is the one who tells us to pray, and it's for a reason. Our view of God must also take in the fact that God expects us to do more than just pray. Okay? This is all practical because we have to have our mindset right about prayer. There's so many wrong ideas about it, just like there's wrong ideas about God. But God expects us to do more than just pray sometimes. Now, some see God as a genie in the sky, and that's how the pagans saw their gods, as big heavenly gift dispensers. Or a shortcut. Some people see God as a shortcut to getting what they want. And so you have the name it, claim it, you know. And all this self-help so you can be successful in business. Get God on your side so you can be successful in business. I'm always reminded of what Abraham Lincoln said when someone asked him whose side he thought God, if he thought God was on his side, he said, I think we should be more concerned about being on God's side. Some men are praying for money, but they don't want to work. I heard one man say that every time I prayed for money, God gave me extra work to do. Here's a good illustration that the kids can understand. When I used to teach in college, a little Bible college, I would tell the students before their test, all right, we're going to take our test, let me pray for you. And I would pray something like this. Lord, help the students to remember what they have studied. And bless them in proportion to the effort they put into this. Amen. Because students, again, they haven't studied, they haven't worked at it, they haven't paid attention in class. They get into class, oh, I got to take a test. Oh, start time to start praying. Well, if you haven't put anything in, don't expect to get much out. Okay, God's not a shortcut. Okay, God's our helper, He's our ally, He's our Father, but He does expect us to do a lot of things. Okay. Can't just sit around waiting for bread to fall from the sky anymore. God wants you to go out and work with your hands, okay, for the bread, your bread, and so on and on. But we need to have a good theological view of God. Jabez prayed to the God of Israel, not a pagan God, not a false version of God, but to the God revealed in the Scriptures. Let me say this also, that some think that prayer is beneath them because they think they're totally self-sufficient and don't need prayer to get what they want or need. So in their theology, God is not a necessary part of their everyday life. And I know people like that. Well, if I want to get something, I'll just work and buy it or get it on credit. I don't need God to give me stuff. Well, fine. I'm not looking for God to give me all my stuff either, but God sometimes blesses me. But I still believe in prayer. And by the way, I don't see how a person with that attitude even got saved. I came to God as a beggar. Had nothing but rags. He had all the righteousness, I had all the sin. I mean, how can you be saved if you're totally self-sufficient, don't see your need for God? And I believe in being independent. Don't get me wrong on that. But I don't believe you ought to ignore God's place in your life either. And to think that you can do it all on your own and don't need God. Because you do need God. Yeah, you might get the house, the car, the jet ski, and all kinds of stuff. But you're going to miss out on the stuff you can't buy if you don't have God in your life. And all that stuff won't make you happy in the long run. So, who is Jabez? Number one, he's nobody. But he made his request and God gave him that which he requested. Number two. Oh, I don't have a watch on. I guess we're just going to stay until I'm done. Number two, Jabez had a list of requests. He had a list of requests. Prayer list. Okay, he had four requests. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. That's one. And enlarge my coast. That's two. That thine hand might be with me, that's three. And thou wouldest keep me from evil, that's four. He was specific in his petition to God. Now, I'm a firm believer in using prayer lists. Prayer lists. I don't come in here to church and ramble for 30 minutes. Okay. I know preachers, they put their notes, no kidding. Their sermon notes can fit on this card because they have the gift of gab and they'll just ramble and to talk for 30 minutes and you probably could, but I try to have something prepared. And when I pray, I want to have something prepared. Okay, I'm going before God. And as I'm going about my activities, I don't stand there with a prayer list if I want to pray about something. But I mean, in my scheduled prayer time, I use lists. Now, a list keeps me on track, shows that certain things are important enough to remember, helps me to remember things that I might forget, and allows me to mark things off as they're answered. And so you could write it down on a piece of paper, a note card. I use my tablet for everything now, and I have a separate PDF document file for that, and I can update it and scribble stuff in and scratch stuff off. But using a prayer list is, I think, one of the most important ways you can get into a consistent, purposeful, intelligent prayer life. Okay. Now, as a matter of fact, much of what I'll be teaching will be lists for your kids, for your spouse, for your enemies, for people that don't like you, for your missionaries, for the pastor, for the church, for et cetera, for your spouse or your parents. Now, number three, Jabez prayed for good and honorable things. He prayed for good and honorable things. Now, folks, praying for something sinful, you can forget it. Okay? God's not, the devil might, but God's not going to give that to you. Okay? Oh, God, help me. You're married. Help me to get that woman. No, forget it. Forget it. I remember a man one time when I worked on the dock. His nickname was Trigger. Okay? He looked like a white supremacist, and he might have been. Weighed about 300 pounds, had a bald-shaved head. And ugly, his homemade sin. And he kind of took a liking to me. He said, "Raspberry, I want you to pray for me about something." I said, "Oh, great." And I've tried witness to him, didn't get anywhere with him. "Oh, great. Okay, what do you want me to pray and get this girl? I'm trying to get her to go on a date with me. If she goes on a date, I'll join the choir." I said, "Well, first of all, I'm not sure I want you to join the choir." That's the second one. I said, "I'm not praying for that. Come on. Let me pray something about something serious, but I'm not going to pray that some girl will go on a date with you." But that's how people think. And we as Christians have to be above that sort of thing. Now, notice that he prayed that God would bless him indeed. All right, nothing wrong with that. I want to be blessed indeed. Okay? If I'm blessed, I'll be a blessing to others. Okay? If I'm not blessed, then I'm not going to be a blessing to others. He asked that God would enlarge his borders. Maybe he was a farmer and wanted extra fields that he might work. Or maybe he wanted his business to grow. Maybe he was a Sunday school teacher and wanted his class to grow. His ministry to grow. Oh, that you'd increase my borders, expand me, that I might be able to do more. He asked that God's hand might be with him and that God would keep him from evil that might grieve his life. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, I don't know anything else about Jabez, but I know this. I know this. I know four things about Jabez. Number one, God blessed him indeed. Number two, God enlarged his coast. Number three, God's hand was with him. And God, number four, God kept him from evil. So how do you know that? Because God granted him that which he requested. And so he asked for good, honorable things, and God answered him in those matters. It is important for us to pray for ourselves first. You got to get your heart right. You got to get your mind right. The scripture says the husbandman that laboreth, the farmer, that must be first partaker of the fruits. If the farmer's not eating and taking care of his health, how can he work the fields to provide for others? So he eats first and then he gives the rest to others. And I pray for myself first and then I pray for my family and my church family and my friends and the list that I have. But it's important to pray for yourself. It's not wrong to pray for yourself. Make a prayer list. I'll give you some things you can put on your prayer list. All right, some personal needs. You can start out by asking for forgiveness. Not me, I'm sinless. Ask your spouse. They can give you a list. Ask me, I'll make a few suggestions. Forgiveness. Every day I ask God for forgiveness. Why? Because I'm a sinner. And we need to be cleansed. Amen. And that's humbling. And if there's specific sins in your mind, you need to confess them. And get them right with God on a daily basis. I'm reading a biography now of John D. Rockefeller Sr., the tycoon. I read some this evening before church. as I'm working through U.S. history biographies. He was raised by, his mom was a Baptist, his dad was a scoundrel. His mom was a strong Baptist. And anyway, she took her kids to the Baptist church and Sunday school. And one day they had a Sunday school lesson on forgiveness and asking for forgiveness on a daily basis. And the kids started a tradition in their family. Every day before they'd go to bed at night, they would ask each other, "Will you forgive me for the wrongs I've done today? Will you forgive me for the wrongs I've done for today? Have you forgiven me for the wrongs that I..." And every day they had to get all their issues out. And then they'd go to bed. But folks, we need to keep a short list on things, don't we? And so I ask God for forgiveness and cleansing. Spend a little time giving Him thanks. We're to come before Him with thanksgiving. And so when you pray, why don't you start out by thanking Him for two or three or four or five things? Okay? It won't be that hard to think of. Give Him a little praise. Pray about your own personal growth. Your own personal growth. Make a list of four or five things you need every day. Okay? One thing that God tells us to ask for is wisdom. So ask God every day for wisdom. Spend time in your Bible and ask God for wisdom. It says He'll give liberally and upbraid you not. Anyway, He won't chastise you for asking for wisdom. You think our teenagers and our kids, you think they need wisdom during their teenage years? Sure they do. You think parents, we don't need wisdom as we're raising our kids? Absolutely. I mean, I'm sorry, kids. You're our first kids. By the time we're grandparents, we'll know it all. But you're all guinea pigs right now, and we're just doing the best we can. I mean, it's different when your kids start dating and having boyfriends and wanting to get married, and you got kids graduating school and going to college and never been away from home and getting cars and insurance. Hey, parents, we need wisdom. We need God's wisdom and direction. So ask for it. Ask for strength. Ask for patience, discernment, guidance. You can make a list of some things you need every day. Here's an important thing that people don't think about praying about. Are there any negative strongholds in your life? Areas that you need to grow in or things you need to overcome? Why don't you make those a matter of prayer? We're to pull down strongholds, but not with ropes and pulleys and war machines. We're to pull them down with spiritual weapons. Okay, and prayer is your spiritual weapon. And it may be that you have some strongholds that need to be undermined through continual prayer, such as depression. And by the way, I know sometimes depression is chemically caused, okay? But I'm talking about just depressed feelings. I mean, make those a matter of prayer. Pessimism, jealousy, anger, pride, complaining, lust, impatience, discontentment, laziness, bitterness, resentment, self-pity. And that's just off Herschel's list. I don't even know what other people have. I'm using his list. Sorry, Brother Herschel. Usually I would call Brother Camp up, but I need someone else to pick on besides Brother Camp. He's been praying about that, see. Praying, Lord, help somebody else get called out for a change. But those things can be dealt with through prayer. And when you think about that every day, you've brought that before God. You think that's not going to change you a little bit each day? I guarantee it will. Or you can make a positive list, okay? You might say, well, that helped me to be more upbeat, more positive, optimistic, humble, patient, content, peaceful, forgiving. You know, like Pastor. Just a little bit like Pastor. All right, never mind. That was a joke. If you don't know what to list, you can always ask me. I can give you a personalized list of things you can pray for. And you might be surprised in my notes, I put a little smiley face after that one. I'm just trying to give you some practical things, folks. It's all right to laugh in church from time to time. Relieves pressure. Make a list of your roles in life. Make those a matter of prayer. Lord, help me to be a good Christian today. Help me to be a good husband. Help me to be a good father. Help me to be a good pastor. Help me to be a good teacher. Those are my main roles in life. Yours might be, help me to be a wife, a mother, Sunday school teacher, employee, employer. Make a list of upcoming events in your life, or deadlines, or work issues, or church events. Make those a matter of prayer. Of course, you have your church calendar. And then this year I've had the privilege of preaching in 8 places outside of our church. And so I had that list there all year. And as we go through, just scratch them off. But I was praying about those for a long time because they're upcoming events. Make a list of things you need in life for you or your family and pray for them. Maybe there's something you really want that would be a real blessing in your life. Okay? It'd be a great improvement. Make that a matter of prayer. Okay? You might be surprised what God can do. Now, it's not always going to come along gift wrapped for free, but God can do things that you couldn't do and make things better than you could do. Okay? I'll give you a recent example, although it's not a super duper illustration, but it just shows how God can work in little things in people's lives. Okay, I have some things for our family that I prayed for, some things we wanted that would improve our lives. Okay, well, one of those early in the years, I needed tires for my truck. Now, eventually, I was going to need the money to pay for them, but you know what? I made it a matter of prayer, and the church for my birthday bought the tires. Well, that was an answer to prayer. But recently, our living room furniture has just been falling apart. It had leprosy. It's the fake bonded leather, you know, that you get at Big Lots or something. And I mean, it's just flaking off. And at least the guys are listening. Amen. I told them they could laugh, and I'm not going to tell them now, they can't through now. And then it had leprosy. And it was all coming apart. You know how these bonded leather sets do. And it's looking real. And then the inside was kind of breaking free. And so you sat down, and it was like you kept going down. And my grandma Rose, who's 95 and never has had a very good filter on her mouth, she tells me 2 things. You need a railing for your stairs, and you need new furniture. It's okay, Grandma. She sat down in the chair, and she couldn't get out. She's like falling in. We had to pull her up. So it's been on my prayer list for a while. Not that I was expecting free furniture. Okay, but I was just praying that, you know, when it came time to buy something, we'd find a good deal, we'd have the cash, because we buy everything with cash. Our only debt is our house. We're trying to stay debt-free, except for the mortgage. And so, you know, that we could find something affordable and decent and not too run down. And so when I need something, let me stay in the microphone. I pray for it and I check Craigslist. Well, one day my dad said, "Hey, I bought a new recliner. You want my old one?" Now, old one for dad means pristine, perfect condition. He just wanted something new. Sure. So I got a basically brand new, Lazy Boy recliner, nice recliner. And just a few days later, we went to Weatherford, preached out there. They gave us a love offering, like we give to preachers when they come here, and they're a blessing. And then Mrs. Raspberry found a whole set of furniture online that someone had bought when they lived in Frisco, and then they moved to Princeton and didn't really fit in their house like they wanted, so they got other furniture. Must be nice to be able to do stuff like that. And so this furniture was in their garage. They couldn't park both their cars in, so they just wanted to sell it fast and get rid of it. So $500. And so I went over there. It turned out it was a couch, a love seat, an extra wide chair, and 3 tables and the throw pillows. Okay? We looked it up online, $2,200 worth of furniture. Pristine. And my new recliner. $500. Now, God didn't float it down from the sky. Okay? But I just believe that God allowed us to find something better than we would have and allowed us to have the funds we needed to buy it. And you may say, well, that's not a very big thing. It's not very spiritual. But when I sit down in that recliner at the end of the day, it feels spiritual. And when I have guests over to the pastor's house, I'm not embarrassed. All broken down furniture they can't get out of. I thought I'd point out something simple because I've seen a lot of those kind of prayers answered, okay? I've seen big ones like the property we're sitting in. And I've seen a lot of little ones too, because I don't think there's anything too small for us to bring before the Lord. Now, I don't pray for a cup of coffee tomorrow. I got a dollar to buy my cup of coffee. But I mean, there are things that I would need and would like, and I make those a matter of prayer. And then I wait, and I watch. And And sometimes I have to buy it. Sometimes I find it on the side of the road. And sometimes people give it to me. Okay, but I believe in a God who cares about not only what we absolutely need to survive, but also likes for His children to be happy and gives us good things. So, I have in my prayer list just a bunch of personal things, yet none of them are selfish. Because all of them will make me a better person, a better Christian, a better husband and father, a better pastor. Now, if you stop there, you're stopping short. Because there's other people you need to pray for too. But you should not think that you can't pray for yourself. You need to pray for yourself. Okay? And having a prayer list is a great way to get started. Be purposeful and intelligent about it. And have the right view of God. Pray to the God of Israel, the God revealed in this book. That's a God that answers your prayers and welcomes your prayers. Sometimes He says no, but you know that you've been heard. Amen.